Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that we've received from you. We thank you that you do order our steps and that, Lord, we can plan and plan and plan and plan, and yet you are the one that has the last say. So we give everything to you, Lord. We thank you for tonight and pray that as we go into your word, you would reveal to us the armies that you have that are constantly at war on our behalf, constantly fighting the evil one and his demons and minions. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would use this time tonight to strengthen our faith and to teach us obedience and holiness so that we could see you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, so the last couple weeks, we have started this study about spiritual warfare. The first week, we looked at the character of God, and we looked at different aspects of his character so that we could know who it is and what power he has, that he's omnipresent, he's everywhere at once, he's omniscient, he knows all things, and he's omnipotent. He has all the power. He is the one that created everything. Last week, we looked at the adversary, Satan, and saw that he is limited in his power. He's very powerful, but he is limited. He is not omnipotent. He is not everywhere. He's not omnipresent. He is also not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. Very, very intelligent. Been around since the beginning that God started creating, but he is a created being. He is not God. And so this week, we're going to then shift back to look at God and his army and the angels. And so let's look together about angels. There's a lot of misconceptions about angels. As I visit people's homes, a lot of times they'll have little knickknacks, and they'll have these little, what do they call those angels? Precious moments, angels. I can guarantee you that there is not a single angel that looks like a precious moment angel. There is no little Cupid. They don't look anything like that. In the scripture, when angels appear, most of the time, the people who they appear to fall on their face in terror. Not always, but quite a bit of time. So very, very different beings than you're going to see described in popular, you know, books and movies and things like that. They're also not like a Nicolas Cage who's come down to the earth and has to work a ambulance or something like that. I never saw that movie, but I know that there was one where he was an angel walking around. That's not it. So let's look and see who are the angels according to Scripture. So first of all, the word angel in the Hebrew is malach and malek. And in the Greek is something like agalos. I never did study Greek, but I did study the Hebrew. And both of these words in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the Greek, in the New Testament, both of these words actually means messenger. So when you read that God sent his angel, it actually means God sent his messenger. So you can actually think about it that way, that angels are messengers of God. They are an order of supernatural or heavenly being whose business it is to act as God's messengers to men, and by men, let's say mankind or humankind, men and women, and as agents who carry out his will. This is actually the definition that you would get if you looked at the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which is the Bible resource dictionary / encyclopedia for those who study the Bible. Now, these words also sometimes are used, these same words are used in the scripture when they're talking about a human messenger. So when it says the king sent out his messenger, he uses the exact same words that God uses when he says, I will send my messenger. And sometimes when God says, I will send my messenger Cyrus, I don't know if you know that passage in Isaiah, he says, my messenger Cyrus. That is the same word that's used for angels. Okay, so, you know, a lot of times we look at these things and we think, since the English word is, you know, angel, that's a specific word, we're not seeing the Hebrew word or the Greek word behind it and seeing how it's used quite often to mean different things. Now, there's some other words that you'll see used for messengers or angels in the scripture. You'll see sons of God. Go to Job chapter 1 with me. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Job is right before the Psalms. So if you open the Bible to the middle, you'll be at Psalms. And then if you go back one book, you go to Job. Job chapter 1. There's another time that you're not going to see it in the English like you would if you were reading the original language in Hebrew. Because in Job chapter 1, verse 6, somebody read that for us. Okay? Now, do you see next to the word angels, does your Bible have a little letter there? Like my Bible has a little letter A there, which tells me, look at the bottom of the page, or sometimes it'll be in the middle of the page, it depends on your Bible, and look for that A. And you'll see at the bottom of the page it has an A and it says 6, because that's verse 6, and it says Hebrew, the sons of God. So in the English, to make it easier to read, it just says angels. But the actual Hebrew word means sons of God. So angels are sometimes called the sons of God. We're not going to go further than that. Know that they're also, and you can, listen, you can look up these other verses also. I gave you lots of verses, you know. Obviously, there's no way we're going to be able to look up all these verses in just a half hour time. But I give it to you so that you can look up. But I do want you to look up holy ones with me. So go to the Psalms and go to Psalm 89. So Psalm 89, starting on verse 5. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. So we learn from a passage like this that there are heavenly beings that surround the Lord, and the Lord is greater than them all. But the holy ones, you know, God tells us to be holy, for he is holy. The angels just are holy. They are holy ones. If they weren't, they would be demons. Because we learned last week that Satan fell. Satan was an angel. He was a holy one. But pride came into his heart. He sinned against the Lord and brought demons with him, brought the other third of the angels with him. We'll talk more about them next week. So these are different words that are used. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says, who are the angels but ministering spirits that are sent to us? There's other names that are used. They're called the council or the assembly. You saw in this passage, it said the council of the holy ones. Sometimes the passage will say this: the assembly surrounded the Lord. Sometimes they're called the heavenly host. Look in Luke chapter 2, or why don't we do this? Why doesn't somebody look up Luke chapter 2 for us, verse 13, and tell us what that says?
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with angels, praising God and saying.
Anybody know what event Luke chapter 2, verse 13 is describing? The birth of Jesus, and the shepherds are out in the field, and suddenly the heavenly host with the angels appear. Okay, these are different terms that are used. The host. Sometimes you'll see the heavenly host declared like God coming with his hosts. In Daniel, and I'll read this one to us, in Daniel chapter 7, it says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seats. That's the Lord. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. It's talking about the angels standing before him. So this host of angels surrounds the Lord. Okay, now, sons of God, holy ones, ministering spirits, heavenly hosts. They're also known as watchers. In Daniel chapter 4, and I'll read this again, at verse 13. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 13, this is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has a dream that disturbs him very much. And so he says, he's telling Daniel his dream, and he says, "In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger." What did we say messenger was? Angel. "A messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, 'Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruits. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds and its branches.'" Now, in the scripture here, next to messenger, it actually has an A again. And you come down to the bottom and it says watchman. A watchman, a messenger, a watchman, an angel. Angels. So just from these names that are given, you get a little bit of an idea of what angels are about. They're messengers. They're watchmen. They're a host that surrounds the throne and brings praise to God. These are the main functions for angels. Now, they're also described as the thrones or dominions or principalities or powers in the heavenly realm. Okay, now what about the origin and nature of angels? Where do they come from? Let's go to Psalm 148 together. If you keep in the Psalms, we have a lot from the Psalms about this, so it wouldn't be a bad place to hang out. And then while we're looking that up, somebody else look up Colossians 1:16 for us. Okay, so Psalm 148, verse 5. Actually, start in verse 1. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts." So who's doing the praise here? The heavenly hosts, the angels, right? "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." So all of creation should praise the Lord. Who is all of creation? The heavenly hosts, the angels, the sun, the moon, the stars. Angels are created beings. That's something very important. Do we worship created beings? No, we worship the Creator. Some people worship angels. Heck, some people worship dead people. We don't do that. We worship the Creator. Okay, what's this Colossians 1:16? Who looked that up for us? What does that say? Oh, maybe nobody got it.
"For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him."
By him all things were created. All things were created by him and for him. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Angels are included in all things. All things were created by God. God is the only one that's outside of his creation. He is the only one worthy of worship. Okay, so origin of angels, they were created by God. And it says in that Colossians 1:16, they were created by him and for him. The angels were created for God. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Now, when were they created? In Job chapter 38, the Lord is speaking to Job, and I love these passages. I mean, the Lord just hammers Job. He says, "Listen, and I'm going to speak." And Job, at the end of it, goes, "I thought I knew you, but I didn't. I just keep my mouth shut from here on out." But God says to Job in chapter 38, he says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstones? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." So what do we know about the angels? We know they were before the creation of the world, right? They are created beings, but they've been around a long time before this earth was ever even created. How do we know? Because they were shouting for joy when the earth was created. Now, in Luke chapter 20, we find out that not only have they been around for quite a long time, they don't die. In Luke chapter 20, there's a question that the teachers of the law at the time asked Jesus, and they're trying to trick him. They give him this scenario that a man dies and his wife is left, and the brother's supposed to marry the wife, and then that guy dies, and then another brother, another brother, and another brother. And he says, "Whose wife will she be in heaven?" And Jesus says, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage and can no longer die, for they are like the angels." What does that tell us about angels? Angels don't die. It also tells us that angels don't marry or are given in marriage. They're not like humans. God didn't create angels to be like him. Mankind was created in the image of God, not angels. Mankind was created male and female to show God's image, show that God is multiple in one. God is three in one. Well, mankind, through marriage, male and female, can show that there is something two, multiple in one. Not three, but two. But reflecting that community that God has in himself. Angels don't have that community in themselves. Okay, so they existed before the creation of the world. They can't die. And then I just blew my next point already. They're not made in the image of God. And they don't have children. Okay, those are things that mankind is greater than the angels in that sense. What's that? Mm-hmm. You know, here's what's really weird. Some people want to worship angels. And yet, we saw in creation that after each of the days of creation, in Genesis 1, God says, "Oh, it's good. It's good. That's good." Then he created man in his own image and says, "It's very good." He didn't say that about the angels. He didn't say "very good" until mankind. We, during a time, are lower than the angels. But in eternity, Jesus even said that we'll judge the angels. That's one to get your mind wrapped around, right? The angels are amazed at humankind. In fact, in 2 Peter, it says they long to look into these things. They are, well, I'm getting ahead of us. So let's try to go along this. All right, so we're not going to look up these verses. You can look up them later. They're not made in the image of God. They cannot have children. That Luke chapter 20 kind of intimated that, and Matthew 22, 30 lets us know that too. Now, what form do they take? What do they look like? I mentioned already, they don't look like these little precious moments things. They don't look like Fantasia's little Cupid going around. When I was a kid, for one of my friend's birthdays, Fantasia was playing. That's back when like they played each Disney movie over once every 7 years or whatever, you know. So Fantasia came out. It was a big deal. We had this big birthday party and all went to see Fantasia, which if you've ever seen a kid try to watch Fantasia, they you know, about halfway through, they get bored out of their mind. This is a bunch of 10-year-old boys. But at the end of Fantasia, they have all these little Cupids, or at one scene, they have these Cupids, and their rear ends are you know, like showing in the screen, and it's so cute and everything. That's how a lot of people think of angels. I don't think Michelangelo painted angels, did he? Somebody did? Yeah. I don't know who did it, but that's where it comes from. That's the idea, that you have these little winged babies. Or you have this idea that you have these angels with white, big old white wings, with halos on their head, and doing the harp thing, right?
And they were female, most of
them. Right. Female. Then you have this idea that humans become angels. Right? All these different things. So what's Scripture tell us? Well, when angels appear, they appear in male form or as a warrior. In fact, if you read the Joshua passage, we'll read that in a minute, Joshua just hits the dirt. I mean, this angel appears in all of his glory with his sword. It's like, oh! They're never as cute, Cupid-like chubby infant. They don't have halos. They're not winged or women, with an exception. There is an exception where you see two women with stork-like wings flying off with a basket. That's in Zechariah. That one in the entire Bible, one place where you see angels that don't look like men. Right? Now, there are some types of heavenly beings called cherubim and seraphim that have lots of wings. And we're not going to look at them just yet. But most of the time they appear in male form. Go to Genesis. That's the first book. That's an easy one to get to. Go to Genesis chapter 19, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In Genesis chapter 19, somebody tell us what number that is in the Pew Bible. Page 26? So page 26, Genesis chapter 19. This is about Sodom and Gomorrah. Chapter 19, it starts out and it says, "The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot," that was Abraham's nephew, "was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. 'My lords,' he said, 'please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning.'" Was there anything about these two angels that Lot found odd? I don't know. It looks, he just sees them and sees them as regular people. Well, but that was the way you always said this. That's how you, the hospitality culture. That's exactly what I'm getting at. Yep. Right. He says, "You can wash your feet." He doesn't offer to wash their feet, right? "You can wash your feet and spend the night and go on your way early in the morning." That's just hospitality. He sees two men come into the town. They're obviously strangers. What a different idea back then, right? Back then, strangers came into your town. You took them to your home and took care of them. They were travelers on the road. Now strangers come into your town, they get shot, right? Back then, and that's the whole passage, what's so disgusting about this, what happens is the neighborhood comes and they want to, they tell Lot, and in verse 5, look at verse 5, they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." They wanted to rape these men. That's why. If you've never read about Sodom and Gomorrah, chapter 19 of Genesis tells you just how wicked and disgusting this place had gotten. And God sent his wrath on them. Now, a couple things to know about this passage. First of all, the two angels, it says they're two angels. They come to the town. Second of all, Lot and all the men of the town saw them as men. Just regular men. Then, in verse 10, it says, "But the men inside," those were the angels, "the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door." Now, if you thought they were just men and not angels, you find out later in
verse 10, 11.
Oh, that's right. In verse 10, they blind everybody. Yep. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness. And then you read in later in the passage, they actually destroy the city. They're the ones that send the fire and brimstone.
And
she turns into a pillar of salt. Okay, so form of an angel. Angels can appear just as normal people, usually men. Again, we don't have a case except the one time in Zechariah where they're female. Three, and one was the Lord himself. Yep. Three men come up to Abraham, and he bows before them. And but again, he starts off in a way that would be hospitality, but evidently there was a recognition there that this was a messenger of God. I don't know. I don't know. I can tell you, if you go to Joshua with me, you'll see how Joshua knew. Okay? If you go to Joshua, so if you go, Deuteronomy is a few books to the right. Joshua's right after it. If you get to Judges, you've gone too far. And if you go to Joshua chapter 5, and somebody can yell out the page.
337.
Page 337 in the Pew Bible. In Joshua chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?'" So at that point, he's just a soldier. "Neither," he replies, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Something in that terrifies Joshua. Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does the Lord have for his servant?" So, are you for us or are you against us? I'm the commander of the heavenly host. Hit the ground. This powerful commander of the heavenly host, this angel. And there's others you can look up. I've got a lot of them here for you to look up. There's other passages you can look up that are even more. Sometimes, like when the women went to the tomb, the two angels are there. They're shiny white, like Jesus when he was transfigured. Okay. Other times, person doesn't even recognize that it's an angel. Okay. So we see from this, and then in Hebrews it says to entertain strangers, okay, to be show hospitality, basically, because in doing so, some have entertained angels without realizing it. So you don't know. Next time you try to minister to somebody, that may be an angel of the Lord that God has sent to give you an opportunity to know his grace by ministering to that person. Okay, so, okay, there are other heavenly beings. Man, we're not even through the bottom of the first page. In addition to the angels that serve as messengers, there's other heavenly beings that are different and distinct from the angels most often spoken of in Scripture. When you read these verses, they will blow your minds because these angels have six wings. The seraphim especially have four different faces. Face of a man, face of a bear, face of a eagle, and an ox. That's right. In Ezekiel, we see that in chapter 1, and then in chapter 9, we see that as well. And the cherubim are the two beings. So if you know anything about the Ark of the Covenant, Raiders of the Lost Ark, have you ever seen that movie? The Ark of the Covenant was the ark that held the Ten Commandments in it, also held the staff of Aaron. And that ark was in what was called the tabernacle, which was like the temple of the Israelites as they went through the desert. And God had them design it with two cherubim that God said, "My presence will be between the cherubim." And over we see in Scripture that the cherubim, God rides on the wings of the cherubim. They're like his chariots. It's hard to picture this. We also know that the cherubim were the guardians at the Garden of Eden to make sure that humankind didn't come back in the garden once they were expelled. We also know that Satan was the main cherub. They're beautiful, beautiful creatures. Now, the seraphim, they're the ones that we find in Isaiah chapter 6 with the six wings. Two cover their mouth, two cover their feet, and two cause them to fly around the throne of God in Isaiah chapter 6. And again, we don't have time to look that up, but you can look at that. And then in Revelation, we see even more heavenly creatures, heavenly beings, it says, surrounding the throne of God, multitudes upon multitudes. In that passage I read to you, 10,000 times 10,000. Just these beings everywhere. They don't know if these are separate, these living creatures, separate from the seraphim or cherubim. We just know that there's a lot of heavenly beings that we don't understand at all. Scripture doesn't give a description very well. So what's the purpose here? What are the purpose of all these beings and of the angels? The purpose is to give praise to the Lord first and foremost. And we can learn from the angels because the angels are constantly surrounding the throne of God. Go to, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, because this is a good thing to see with the seraphim. Isaiah chapter 6 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." In Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we see the same scene around the throne of God. In Revelation chapter 4, it describes the living beings, the living creatures that were around the throne. And it says, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" What's the purpose of angels? The number one purpose is to bring glory and honor to God, first of all. Now, there's other purposes. They're to act as God's messengers. If you look through these passages, you'll see God sends his angels. What did God do for Mary to let her know that she would give birth to Christ? Sent Gabriel, right? He sent Gabriel also to John the Baptist's father, right? Zechariah, was it? Yeah, Zechariah. Sends angels to Daniel. Daniel has these visions that he can't understand. The angel comes to share with him what is going on, what this vision is. So messengers of God, over and over through the scripture, we see them as messengers. They also protect and rescue. When Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, is in the lion's den, the lions don't touch him. Why? An angel came and shut the lions' mouths. Okay? An angel. Daniel said God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths. I think that was Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. It says he looked in and saw one that looked like the Son of Man. And that's a description of the Messiah that's used in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me read that one to you. Dang, we're going to run out of time. Driving me nuts. Oh. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is one that I remember coming to mind. Oh, yeah, this one. This one's awesome. This is, so the prophet Elisha has a servant, Gehazi, and Gehazi comes out to go get wood, and he looks around, and the army of Samaria is surrounding their house, okay? They're down in a valley, army of Samaria is all around, and they're going to come down, and they're going to kill Elisha and the servant. Servant rushes in, he's terrified, and he says to Elisha, "My master, what are we going to do?" And it says, Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Who rides chariots of fire? It's the heavenly host. Open his eyes that he may see that this enemy that surrounds us is nothing compared to the forces of God that surrounds them. So I hope you look through all this, because I'm hearing that we're done. But some of the things that angels do, they are God's messengers to us. They protect and rescue God's people. They minister to God's people. Here's the crazy thing. People worship angels, which makes no sense, because angels minister to us. Their job is to praise the Lord and for some reason to minister to humans. Jesus, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, an angel came to minister to him. Elijah, when he's at his wit's end, when he's being chased by Jezebel and he's just wanting to give up, the ravens came and brought him food, and the angels ministered to him, it says. But then these are the most powerful beings that carry out the wrath of God and fight in the heavenly realms. In these passages in Daniel, the angel that comes to Daniel, Michael, Archangel Michael, comes to Daniel and says, "I would have come sooner, but I was detained fighting against the king of Persia," which we'll get into next week when we talk about Satan's forces. But evidently they fight, this heavenly army fights a battle all the time on behalf of the people of God. So you can look at these. They carry out God's wrath and they war against demonic forces. And just authority, be very careful about this. You know where Mormonism comes from? Anybody know where Mormonism comes from? So Joseph Smith claims that an angel called Moroni came to him and gave him a message. And Joseph Smith led all these people who call themselves Mormons ever since down this path away from what the scripture says because an angel gave him a message and they're going to believe the angel over the scripture. Now there's scripture here that I want you to look up that tells us to be wary. Even messages from angels, you have to use the scripture and make sure that message holds up to what God's word says. The Apostle Paul says, even if an angel preaches a gospel that is not this gospel, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. There are demons. They are fallen angels. They can trick us. It says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light, easily tricking people who will buy into it. So we always use this word as our guide. This is the authority. Even if an angel tells me something, I make sure that it matches up to this. Okay? So, and we don't worship angels. In the scripture, you'll see the Apostle John in Revelation gets this vision of heaven. And when the angel's talking to him, John actually hits the turf and starts to worship. And the angel says, "Get up, I am created just like you." do not worship me, worship the Lord. He says, I'm just like you. So, angels show us the greatness of God and his love for us. They do God's bidding and fight against the forces of Satan on our behalf. And God's army is powerful and is able to defeat the forces of darkness. It's great to know that these angels are on our side. Let me finish us in prayer. Lord, you are worthy of our praise and honor. Even the angels worship you. Glory and holy, 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 they shout at your name. Lord, they praise you night and day. We want to praise you night and day. Lord, send your angels to guide us and protect us, but never let us turn to them to pray or worship. Always, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. And so we praise you in your holy name.